welcome you on our half-year results presentation. Let me start on page four. These are the highlights of what we are trying to say today. First of all, net interest margin, as we mentioned at our quarterly results presentation 3 months ago, our strategic goal was to defend and increase our net interest margin from 4.5 that was reported at the end of March, and I'm really proud to say that we achieved this target for the full half year is 4.7. For the second quarter alone, we reached close to 4.9. There are a number of reasons for that, but all of them are very much in line with what we expected at the beginning, at the end of the first quarter. And the reasons are, first, centralization of all the credit decisions. Second, strong focus on of converting our clients in our first bank program. So Alior would like to become the bank of the first choice for our clients, and we see year on year almost doubling of the current account balances of our clients. This would allow us to keep the funding cost in the lower rate. Also, we defended our position in cash loans, although some of our competitors wanted to build the position in the segment. We also try to avoid the price and margin erosion in the large corporate segment. As we expected, we've seen a lot of international players coming to finance the large companies in Poland. We are trying to avoid low margin segments in the large corporate business, moving to mid and small size. And all these things combined led us to defend of our net interest margin at 4.7 level, which we believe will be maintained or even increased in the second half of this year. Second point, growth and profitability. Our loan book grew at 950 million. Our long-term target is 400 million per month. So it's a little bit below our expectations, but it's the composition has changed. And it's a better than expected growth in consumer lending, better than expected in cash loans, in mortgages, and even in the mid and small enterprises. We didn't grow the volume in large corporate segment as rapidly as we did in the past. Cost of risk, as we announced in the first quarter, and also it's going to be true for the second half of this year, we believe that our cost of risk will grow from 2.2 to 2.3% level, but this is stable. There are no one-off events whatsoever, and this leads me to believe that in the second half of this year we will continue the same strategy of defending net interest margin at 4.7, even above level, and keeping the cost of risk at 2.3. T-Mobile, this is major achievement for us. We started in second half of May with the first campaign, 40,000 clients from T-Mobile Corporation ended up in a new that we never had any contacts with, were acquired by the end of June, and at the end of July we have close to 60,000 clients from this corporation. So and the credit campaign, the vast distribution of our product in 830 point of sale strong T-Mobile outlet hasn't started yet. So we are pleased with start. We are already working on phase two of our cooperation, which is introduction of the new products and services. And as was the case with Sync, we are happy to be with this offer much faster than our competitors, including the strongest competitors in the in this mobile sector. So now I pass over to Nils.
Thank you very much, Wojciech. As you see on page number 5, we have had a 26% volume growth year on year, and just quarter on quarter, 11.3%. This has... Hello? Okay, I have to be a little bit closer to it. No? Ups. Slides. Okay, excuse me. We have a slight change here. So now it's on page number 5. And you will see that over the last one quarter, we have a net interest income growth of 12%. We have a volume growth of 11%. And as Wojciech mentioned, we have been capable of managing to recover our margins on the retail lending. We see a very good growth on retail lending. And another driver of the profitability is the cost-income ratio. You will see that in the second quarter we are at 50.2%, giving us very strong comfort that we will be below 50% for the full year. If you look at page number 7, Wojciech mentioned the most of the reasons for this net interest income growth. We have a very strong position in the net interest income, net interest margin in the Polish market, mainly because we do have a very strong focus only on high return client relationships. Page number 8, the split of the volume growth. We have seen a good growth of mortgage loans in the second quarter, even in the first half year. Mortgage loans with a good profitability. We have seen a repricing in general in the market of mortgage loans. We still see a very good growth of cash loans, both to consumer finance customers, cross-sell, but also via marketing campaigns where we have the general market coming and taking cash loans. On the deposit side, almost 7 billion zloty of current account deposits from retail at a very, very low interest income, interest for the clients, who are giving us a very good margin. And this is very stable money. And this element of stable money, you will see on page number 9. When we got established, we said we want to have client relationships. And we went out and we created client relationships. Almost 44% of what we can call core clients have their salaries transferred to their account with Alior. This is at the level of banks which have had customer relationships for tens and twenties of years. We're very pleased with that. In spite of the significant customer growth, we are keeping up a very high proportion of the clients using Alior as their main bank, their first bank. When we 3 years ago created the pay the bills without a fee, ARBO in Polish, a Kill Bill project, this was made to do cross-selling of loans. We're very pleased to inform that we have almost 17% of these clients paying in salaries or pensions to their current account with Alior, giving us a total first bank choice of 29% of all clients in the bank. This is crucial for us, that we have a very strong relationship both on the retail but also on the corporate, because this gives us a capacity to act as the universal bank, which we are. The page number 10, you will see a very good growth of the top line of the fee and the flat on the net. We have a good growth on payment cards. We have introduced some fees to make up also for the fee costs which are coming, which are increasing from the interchange. We have a good growth in bank assurance coming from a good volume growth, which we have seen. And On the cost side, we have increased the remuneration to distributors, plus we have had a relatively high cashback, which we have stopped now. We're not going to see this cost continuing in the same level in the quarters going forward. Page 11, credit risk. As expected, we do see an increase in NPL, partly coming from the fact that in Poland it's very difficult to have a write-off happening, partly because we have seen an increase in the so-called loss identification period for retail, which both has led to a higher NPL but also a higher provisioning, IBNR, and therefore we also see a higher coverage ratio coming out of it. The mortgage loans, we feel very comfortable with the development which we have here. We have very good collaterals, and therefore we do not need the same provisioning level as we're seeing in the market, where there are a lot of mortgage loans in foreign currency granted when the exchange rate was much more favorable for the client, but has turned out to be a challenge in loss in loan overvalue. We have, not on this one here, but we have, as mentioned, 2.3% cost of risk as our target for the year. This seems very realistic. If I will hand over to Vitek now.
Thank you, Nils. On slide 12, we have ROE development, which I'm very proud of what we did in the last quarter. If you look at the ROE at the end of second quarter, 12.1 versus 11.2, almost 1% growth. So it gives us good comfort that our long-term target will be achieved. The same, I feel quite comfortable with the equity equipment. So if you look at the capital adequacy ratio, 13.1, this is above regulatory requirements, and the same with the Tier 1 ratio. So our target is to keep and to concentrate on the high profitability relations, just to create, to some extent, perpetuum mobile to generate enough and higher ROE with the equity which allow us to stay at this safe level. Next slide, deposit and loan market share. What we achieve at the end of the first half, 2.6% market share for the loan. This is almost, let's say, a straight line to achieve our medium-term target, 4% at the end of 2016. However, if you look at the lower tables, you can see that despite of the tough market, we are growing much faster than the market. In the retail, this pace of growth, our pace of growth is two times faster than the market average. For the corporate, despite of the fact which Wojtek and Nils mentioned, but that we should shift a bit our focus on the retail customer, we are growing two times faster than the market. On the next slide, number of customer. Within the first half of this year, we exceeded half of our full year target, and we acquired more than 200,000 customer. But if you look at the lower table, you can see that half of acquired customer in the second quarter come from the T-Mobile project, which give us very good comfort to achieve and even exceeded full-year target. On the next slide, slide 15, you can see the number of distribution network. We are number four. And in terms of the physical distribution network, we achieve what we expected to do. We have the potential to be in all 830 outlets of T-Mobile. However, this is the beginning of our cooperation. And I think that one of the most important slides in our presentation, cost and expenses. If you look at the HR, we have special expenses which happened in the only in the second quarter. We paid a layoff for the restructuring program which we announced in the previous year. It cost us around 4 million zloty. And the second item which happened in the second quarter, this special bonuses for the people who work in strategic projects and with the success which we achieve in this project, we decided to pay this special bonus. If you look at the non-HR cost, only one element explained the growth between second and third quarter. There's marketing cost and the 12 million zloty marketing which we spent in the second quarter. This is one-fourth of our target for this year. So in the next quarters, we should not expect big increases in this line. Wojtku?
No. On page 18 and 19, I'm trying to talk a little bit about our cooperation with T-Mobile. It's just started. We are working on two fronts at the same time. One is to, rather three fronts. First is to acquire clients. And the client acquisition goes according to the plan or even exceeds our initial plans, both from our side and from T-Mobile side. The distribution network is activated, is internet, mobile banking, contact center, it's a virtual branch and T-Mobile outlets. Now we are just after the holidays, summer holidays, at the beginning of September, we'll try to activate the clients on both lending and deposit products. Simple product range, current account, debit, deposit, overdraft, and cash loan, including the refinancing of loans in other banks. So this is the second pillar of our cooperation. And then the engineers and IT experts, they are working on a third pillar of cooperation, which is to offer the clients much more than their current offer, linking the information, linking the benefits between the bank and a telecom company can result in really breakthrough services that are uncommon on the market yet. We probably will be able to introduce them at the early 2015, but the work is already much developed. All in all, we found this cooperation extremely attractive from our side and also from our partners from T-Mobile side. Not only in terms of Alior engagement, but also in terms of the people from T-Mobile engagement, including the people that are working in 830 branches. It's a process, but the first results are very, very encouraging. As Witek has mentioned earlier, with starting the channel of starting the cooperation with T-Mobile allowed us to capture this 44,000 clients at the end of first quarter and 58,000 clients at the end of July, which arithmetically this is something that is responsible for 50% of our client growth, but at the same time to boost our fee income and to get rid of unprofitable client relationships, for instance, those that are that we're using Alior Sync only for cashback scenarios, we gave the clients a choice to stay or to go in our regular business. And all in all, we did at the end of March or early July, we've done the first repricing for our clients, and we lost some of the people of unprofitable relationships on former Al-Yorsink and on Al-Yor Arbo clients. This decline of number of clients due to repricing was more than offset by the number of relationships that we started working together with T-Mobile. On page 20, this is one page on our other strategic initiative, which is the consumer finance. In consumer finance, we are now definitely in top three players on the Polish market. The strategy that was designed really worked. On the upper table, this is our exposure to, in terms of installment loans at the POSs. This is usually the loss maker. This is the door opener to get into the relationship with the client. So our long-term goal is not to kind of boost this volumes too much, and we are already now in our fifth round of reviewing the relationships with the large and small and mid-sized retailers. So the volumes here are stable at 650 million level. At the same time, we are working stronger and stronger to activate the clients that we acquire through installment loans, and our strategy here really works quite well. The increase of close to 40% in one quarter shows that we are on a good track. We built six centers in Poland that we are trying to activate our clients from, and also the vast distribution network that we have in Poland that is very different from our competitors in consumer finance area also start to bring positive results. Because some of the clients are transferring, are not only repaying the loans, but also becoming our clients on Arbo product and our products. On page 20, on other issues, on page 22nd, I would like to close this issue of irregularities, potential irregularities concerning the shares of sale of by part of the management in 2013. There was absolutely no sign of wrongdoing, and the case was closed, and not even investigation was not even opened by KNF. KNF, after reviewing the facts, basically confirmed what we said earlier. There were absolutely no wrongdoings. So on outlook, on page 24, there are four pillars. One is the volume growth on the lending side. 400 million is still our target. It would require much more effort from our side, because I would like to confirm this 400 million will not be made granting the big loan with 0.75 percentage margin for a large corporate segment or extra large corporate segment. As I mentioned earlier, we expected the large pan-European banks to come with their cheap financing and lending to Poland. It did happen, and it is not the game that we would like to play. We would like to refocus and focus more on the growth in consumer lending, cash loans, cards, mortgages, and working capital financing, and investment loans for mid and small companies in Poland. We are also open for large corporate relationships also, especially those with the FX component, because we are quite good in providing the services in this area. However, we will be looking at the to defend our margins quite closely. I would like to confirm that we are still we would like to get 1.2 billion growth per quarter for the remaining part of this year. Net interest margin, after the development of the first quarter, I thought that that 4.7 would be difficult. Now I can say that 4.7 for the full year is very probable, with some sides, some marks, some phenomenons leading me to the conclusion that it might be a little, even a little bit better in the second part of the year. Obviously, it depends on a change in the composition on our lending side and lack of any kind of market economic changes like decrease of base rates. Costs. Our plan that was launched in the first quarter of this year is already basically finished. All the layoffs of people at the headquarters from the group that is non-client facing is done. We haven't stopped hiring people at the branches. In the backup section, you'll see that there are even more of us facing the clients in our Alior Expresses and Alior regular branches. I think it's fair to say that our goal of going below 50% for the full year is very achievable. We could our full year target might be even better than just below 50. Let me remind that we are at 50.8 at the end of first half of this year. Risks, I think there's a cost of defending the net interest margin. We'll do everything to control our pricing and to be strict on the margin side. However, the sheer fact that we are switching to slightly more risky part of the population would lead us into the to believe that our cost of risk for the full year will be at the level of 2.3, which is current level for the first half a year. We would like to keep this till the end of the year, and since we are very prudent with the IBNR provisioning, we do not expect any significant changes that could lead into an increase of this coefficient. So these are the four pillars. So we're looking forward to achieve the results that are expected. I'm not in the terms of the guidance, but I would like to reinforce what we said earlier. If there are any signs that we would like that we will not meet the consensus, we will inform the market. And if, at the result of the first half of the year, I don't see any signs that would basically make the full year results expected by the market impossible. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now open for your questions. We will first start with questions from the guests in room. We have one question already.
Kamil Stolarski, Espirito Santo. For me, one of the most important issues in Alior Bank is the quality of the loan book. And looking at the largest exposure that you have in corporate segment, you have informed this quarter that you have reclassified 2 out of 10 largest exposures in corporates and non-performing loans. And those two together account for more than 300 million and more than 10% of their equity. And I wonder if you could comment on the collateral that you have in there and the reasons for the classification of these exposures.
We will not mention names, of course. The significant part of what is NPL is really restructuring. So it means that some companies have had a quarterly loss, and this is a trigger for us to call it NPL. And then there's a cure period between 3 and 9 months, depending on the severity and the plan setup. So for most of our corporate exposures, we have very good collateral, including for these cases. And we feel confident that we're not going to see any losses higher than we have already provisioned for these cases going forward.
Are those companies overdue with installments towards you?
No, they are not, but there are other triggers of classification.
Okay. And the second question would be on the cost of risk in the retail segment, because I believe that you have recognized some IBNR provisions relate more or less 17 million Polish zloty. And it's surprising to me because last year you were reversing IBNR provisions and now you decided to recognize them back. And I wonder
There's a natural reason. What happened last year was that we finally had gathered sufficient internal data to use our statistics for the calculations instead of collecting data from the market. And we were better than the market. What is happening right now is that there's a trend to see higher loss identification periods, and this is the major reason for this roughly 17 million higher retail IBNR. Just a few million is due to increased portfolio.
And last one question about cost of risk.
If I may, one comment to what said Neil. So last year, we having the enough track record, we optimized LGD parameter. This year, we focus on the RIP, loss identification period.
And I had a comment that you decided this year to go for more risky clients. And could you quantify it somehow when it comes to your risk appetite, or how do you measure this?
One of the elements is what Wojciech showed you on page number, just a second, page number 20. We have an increase in retail lending, and cash loans are without collateral. So one can call it riskier, but in retail business, it's the unexpected risk that in reality is a risk. If we have a high capacity to predict the expected losses, these are for us a normal cost. So therefore, the stronger focus on non-collateralized lending, which is the strategic competence of Alior both in Poland and in European context, we have a stronger focus on these non-collateralized lending. So versus pure mortgage lending or other collateralized corporate lending, yes, it looks like higher risk with higher cost of risk, as it's called, but we have very strong predictive models telling us that we have a good understanding of what we're doing. And you can also see it by the higher margin which we're gaining. And we can see it internally, of course, in a number of sub-portfolios that we have a very good understanding with a very high quality of predictive tools.
Also, if I can refer your attention to page 29 on the backup side, we are referring to here to our new quarterly production. And if you look at the upper side, which is the cash lending and mortgages, we defended our position in cash lending. Our competitors also tried to boost their net interest margin by attacking especially intermediaries in the sector. So here the position of Alior and the market shares even grew. If you look at the lower part of the graph, which shows the exposure to corporates, in the second quarter of this year, we reduced our exposure to large corporate segment, and we maintained the same production for the mid and small companies. Mid and small companies are, comparing with a large corporate, they have one thing or two things in common. They are slightly less risky, but they offer attractive margins. And if you combine, this will be the strategy of our bank for the second half of this year also.
Dariusz Górski, BZWK. I have a question about your loan deposit ratio. Are you comfortable with 102%? And obviously it did miracles to your net interest margin in the last quarter or two, but what's your thoughts about the funding of growth further out?
We are pleased with 102. We have said we don't want to be depending on wholesale funding. We have some core capital of roughly 2.8 billion, which we could consider as not depending on wholesale funding also. We do understand that our growth does require also a growth of retail deposits. We are very pleased with the growth we're seeing on current account. We have deliberately held back on doing deposit campaigns in the second quarter of two reasons. One has been the small deposit war that has happened, and we didn't want to go into that pricing element. Second is there are trends of expecting a cut in the interest rate and therefore sitting with a relatively small term deposit base should help us also gain a little bit from not having too long repricing periods ahead of us.
Also, I think in the longer term, we don't have any intention to change our policy. We would like to maintain our self-financing model at the loan-to-deposit ratio at 100, not like this quarter. However, I would like to remind you that for the last three or four quarters, we were punished by the market and by analysts keeping this buffer in the declining interest rate environment at too high a level. And for the last two quarters, we had it at 92, 93, which was from financial engineering point of view, retrospective, I can say it was too expensive and unnecessary. So 102 is not our target. Our target is 100, but I think we will look at the market developments and we try to avoid the trap that Niels has described by getting into lengthy relationships on the deposit side with the clients in an environment that might or might not result in a reduction of the base rate.
Rokicka, a follow-up on deposit volumes this quarter. It's clearly there was a significant drop in retail term deposits. The drop in the interest rates may come in September, October, the fastest this year. Is it mean that we should expect a further drop in deposit base in the third quarter?
We are steering this at a very dynamic mode. I don't think we'll see a drop, but it doesn't mean that we'll see a significant increase following the volume increase of loans, volume increase of loans. So in terms of funding, we are fully aware that we do not want to have this long-term 7 months, 12 months deposits of repricing time if there is a cut. We will see within the next 1 month's time from now if there is a cut.
So I think we are looking at the developments on the market from our competitors. We are looking where we are losing each single client on the term deposit, where they go, when they come from, we decided in the second quarter of this year not to take any pricing actions to defend the long deposits at any price. We will be looking closely at the development from competition in the third quarter to manage our deposit base in line with the growth on the lending side. I would say after some strange campaigns with 4% plus, we see nowadays. Maybe it's only summer, but nowadays it's a stabilization rather than price war for deposits. So, but what I can say is only this we'll be looking at very, very closely.
So
one more comment to that. So if you just take out the second quarter, we have a NIM at almost 5%. So there's space for our growth and paying a little bit more for term deposits if this is what you're aiming at, can we fund our loan growth? Yes, we can, and still with a good NIM.
And a question on consumer finance loans, or rather more return on mortgage loan book. This quarter, the growth of the stock was much slower than the sales data suggests. The question is, what happened? If there is some delay of sales versus outflow of cash for the customers, or could you elaborate a little bit more on the volume growth in mortgage non-retail? If I look at the stock increased less than 200, if I'm correct, 200 million złoty quarter on quarter. It's significantly lower than the sales data suggests.
I will have a look at that. I'm managing at the sales data, and in mortgages there are no repayments, so I think it might
be... No, in old mortgage, non-mortgage retail book, so the...
Non-mortgage... In mortgages, we are talking about non-mortgage cash, so mostly cash loans, because the cards and the... and overdraft facilities are pretty small. I think it might be linked only with two factors, the delayed payments to the clients, and the second is the repayments but we from the clients. But we've seen with the centralization of pricing, rather decrease in earlier repayments from the clients, so it might be linked only with the delay of disbursement.
So should we expect that in 3Q the growth of loans in this segment will speed up versus this what we saw in the second quarter?
After the defense of the successful defense of the attack on the intermediary sector by Alior, I think that it's fair to say that we definitely will see the increase in the fourth quarter because of the seasonal reasons and because of the demand. Knowing the seasonality of the cash product, the third quarter should be the same or slightly better than the second quarter in this segment because of the summer. Summer is relatively slow, then it picks up in September. So all in all, I'm for the full half year, comparing half year with half year, I expect the growth in the sector for sure. The third quarter versus second quarter, the baseline is increasing, but I'm not sure about the effect of the very hot summer.
And the final question from my side is about the credit union in Rumia, SKOK in Rumia. There was a press speculation that you applied to the regulator to acquire those assets. Can you comment on that?
As you've mentioned in your question, I cannot comment on speculations and rumors, including the press speculation and rumors. But on the other side, what I know about I'm not very familiar with all SKOK segments in Poland, but SKOK in Rumia has 60 million deposits and 70 million of loans altogether, 14 outlets, so it's not very sizable.
So we shouldn't pay attention because it's not sizable, or we shouldn't pay attention because this speculation was simply wrong?
I think that not paying attention in general, I think it's not advisable to base judgment of press on press speculations.
Okay.
This is what I...
Thank you.
If I just might follow up on the net interest income question, because historically the volatility, there were some quarters where volatility in net interest income was explained by the volatility in revenues from bank assurance, the one that you are recognizing right now. And I wonder if you could comment or give us the values or how much bank assurance revenues were recognized this quarter versus the previous quarter, or what was the delta. and if the bank assurance is responsible for the hike in this quarter that we have.
The volatility which we're referring to was mainly visible in the third and fourth quarter of the previous year when we made a restatement and readjustment, because there is some not clarified issue. But when we close this issue, I can say that forever with our regulator, having the letter and confirmation that our approach is in line with the KNF regulator, this adjustment and restatement and also the volatility will not happen. What we observe and what is shown in the profit and loss account, net interest income and fee and commission income, and the fee and commission income is just upfront, which we charge, and this is according to our explanation, this is for the cash loan, the range between 12 and 15%, but on the average is 13%. For the mortgage, this ratio is even higher, is close to 20%. So this is when we sell the insurance contract, and the remaining part is spread over their lifetime and is shown in the as an interest income.
I understand this, but my question was is if there is some seasonality related to the value of bank assurance revenues recognized as part of net interest income.
No, it's not explained by the seasonality in terms of the recognition of the income. It's by seasonality of the sale. And for instance, we observed that if you look at the fee and commission, you can see that we increase the revenue from distribution of this product in the second quarter because you remember that when we published the first quarter result, we mentioned that penetration of the insurance, especially in the June and January and February, was below our expectation. We regained we improved this ratio in the month, and we gradually improving through the second quarter. And now we are in terms of the penetration, we are at the level before this turmoil which we observed in 2013.
I think it's fair to say that the net interest margin regained in the second quarter cannot be explained at all by any changes in bank assurance. I think what was responsible for regaining our position on and control over net interest margin was the end of Garancja Najniższej Raty. That was a campaign that we ran in the first quarter of this year, and basically taking all pricing decisions from the branches to the headquarters. And this is the most important factor. I would like to confirm that on bank assurance side, once very penalized by the market, we don't have any intention to be more liberal than needed. And I must say that our booking and accounting policies on bank assurance is confirmed by now two or three auditors. It's the strictest that you can find on the Polish market. In the periodization, duration of the contract, and also with the provisioning for the early repayments. We are using here 28-29% levels versus some of our competitors are at much, much lower rates.
Magda Komorowska, Erste Group. I have a question concerning the bank assurance recommendation that is supposed to be implemented in next year. I was wondering if you could share any guidance, any expectations, what we should see going forward with this line.
We've seen the recommendation new coming to the market, and as every single bank in Poland, we are looking at the consequences of recommendation new. And there are some obvious consequences, and one of which we need to go through the effort to basically properly train and license of our staff. And here will be the 1.5 million, so what a not very significant effort from a financial point of view, but quite heavy on kind of training and logistics. Other than that, we are looking at the four different models from multi-agents, joint ventures, licensing, group, and so on. We found the current, regardless of which model we select, we found that the effect of recommendation U on our bottom line will be regardless of the model, we don't know which model we'll follow yet, will be very small. And we do not expect any significant changes going in tens of millions of worth of annual revenue. On the cost side, it's pretty straightforward that we need to train the people, we need to change. But most of our people are already trained on bank assurance products linked with the investment products. So I think for us it's only marginal effort needed. All in all, I guess the impact of bank assurance of recommendation U will not be significant at all.
Piotr Palenik, I would have two questions. One regarding fee costs. You mentioned that one of the reasons for growth of fee costs was cashback. And if you could, it will not appear in Q3. But could you quantify the value of cashbacks in Q1 and Q2?
For Q2, as far as I remember, it's around 4 million.
Okay. And the second question is, we saw small but decline in number of branches, outlets in Q2. What's your medium-term guidance for the development of your own network? I understand that now your network is supported by T-Mobile, but the question is about your own outlets. Thank you.
This is a very important question that it's a little bit too early for me to answer. But let me go point by point. First, we do not have any intention to build any more branches. As we mentioned at the end of last year, 220 of small Aldior Expresses, 205, now 216, because they're private banking included in our main branches and agencies. This is all what we need. Secondly, and this is the second point, we are now, time flies, and Aldior is not a newcomer to the market anymore, and some of our branches were opened still at the peak of 2007, 2008 pre-crisis price levels. So we are trying to reduce our cost base by also reducing the rental fees from the landlords in our branches. Some of them we are very successful. Some of them say, no, we still want to charge you 30, 40 euro per square meter. So then we move somewhere else. Third point is that we are the only bank in Poland that is open for clients vastly in 200 locations on Saturdays, Sundays till late at 9 to 10 o'clock. A lot of our Aldior branches, Aldior Expresses are located in the shopping centers. And here comes the point number four. In some of these shopping centers, we are very close to T-Mobile branches. So that's why I've started with this answer to the question about the branches by saying it's too early. We simply don't know how the cooperation between Aldior Expresses and Aldior and T-Mobile partnership would work. Currently, I can say only that the client acquisition on the current account is similar in both channels. But the moment of truth will come only when we try to cross-sell the cash loans. The more successful the T-Mobile network is in cross-selling, then we will have to refocus our Aldior Expresses. So far, it's too early to say, and we do not have any projects, any plans to neither build or close our branch network. But on the slide, as you on the slide 15, the how fast and how deep we activate the the magenta part will this will basically answer your question. We definitely need, we don't need to service in Poland. We don't need 1,700 of numeric distribution outlets. It's too much. If you add our branches to their branches, but it's a process.
Excuse me for asking once again, but it's very early in the morning. I haven't had a chance to look into all the data. I'm looking at the NPL in corporate segment, and the NPL value have increased by 80 million quarter on quarter, whereas the two exposures, that the large exposure that you have reclassified is more than 300 million. And I wonder if you have taken out some corporate exposures from the NPLs. It's quite a lot, because it's 220 million. And maybe a question on the situation of Pol Beta, once again.
There is a movement in corporate, and especially when we look at the larger ones, which is a painful for us as a relatively small bank to have a large one with an element of default classification without being a critical issue for the survival of the company. We still have to classify in and out. So there is some movement in the NPLs. In terms of Pol Beta, all I can say is that we are still negotiating. We cannot say anything more than that at this stage. We have an intention to sell, and we have an intention to sell at the best price possible. That's all.
The question is, was it profitable last year?
Pol Beta.
Yes. Pol Beta was profitable last year and is profitable for the first half results, yes. Which is important distinction, because the profitability for the full year results for the company that is in this drugstore area is easily achievable because of the November-December period. But what is really the results for the first half of the year are also very encouraging. I'm talking about the profitability on a EBITDA level.
Do we have any following questions from the in-room attendees? If not, then please, operator, open the line for the Q&A for the conf call attendees. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That's star and one to ask a question. Our first of these telephone questions comes from the line of Anna Marshall. Your line is now open.
Good morning. Two quick questions from me, please. First, could you please clarify what interest rate expectations are factored into your NIM guidance for the full year? And second question, on asset quality, do you see any impact from the current geopolitical tensions on your clients and asset quality, and also in general on the Polish economy? Thank you.
I did not fully understand the question regarding credit risk. If you can please repeat.
So, do you expect any impact on any of your corporate clients, maybe you're engaged in the export sector, from the current geopolitical tensions happening in the region, and consequently on your asset quality? And what is your general expectation on the impact on Polish GDP, for example?
So first question was what interest rate level. For our NIM guidance, we are assuming no change in the interest rate level. And that is why we're saying there's a potential increase from the 4.7 going forward, whereas a rate cut could lead to a reduction or potentially even a flat, depending on how significant it will be. In terms of export companies having exports to both Russia, potentially Ukraine sectors, we have a very negligible exposure to such companies. and therefore we do not see any change in our outlook for cost of risk. Of course, there's one or two small ones, and it's a challenge for those small owners to have these things happening, but it's nothing which will have a significant impact on the total cost of risk. The total impact of seeing a ban on exporting agricultural products of various types to Russia, and also challenges in Ukraine with payment morale and therefore also lower exports, there are a number of different macroeconomists saying between 0.3 and 1.6% of GDP. I guess the challenge is how many apples the Poles will eat extra per day, how many export licenses they'll be made for dairy products to Singapore, etc. It's very difficult to come with an exact measure of this. We have a relatively small exposure to the agricultural sector in Poland as Alior, but naturally any change in GDP will have a spin-off effect on total amount of spending capacity in the population, and therefore also potential for some retail customers eventually. It's too early to say exactly what it means. We as Alior do have a good understanding of where earnings are coming from when you have a salary, and we're also having capacity to measure are you employed in an exposed food industry and doing also risk assessments in this context. We do not see as Alior that this is something that will impact us significantly.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jovan Skimik. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning. Just a question on other results, meaning everything which is non-net interest income and fees. It was quite good in this quarter. Maybe you can give some insights whether we can expect similar levels, especially on trading results and on other results for the coming quarters, or at least, let's say, for the third quarter this year. Thank you.
In terms of trading result, I can tell that our efforts of having our EFX tool used by mid and large corporates is bearing fruit, and we're seeing 50% of this increase in trading result is coming from customers using this electronic tool, which is a very, very big advantage for the user. In terms of net gains, other financials, there's nothing big to talk about. Other operating income and cost also, it's more a question seeing a little bit higher income and controlling the cost there a little bit better. So there's nothing we can call sustainable in this 4 million extra income from net other operating.
Yeah, adding to that, I can say that the FX results from both spot and hedging products in second quarter of this year was slightly even below our expectations, and the reason for that was extremely stability of Polish złoty. I must say that I'm not very happy with what happened with turmoils on the market over the last weeks, but in spite of the middle of the holiday season here, we'll see already a big interest in FX products coming from our small, mid-sized companies and individual clients, and the trading volumes on our FX platforms increase with the volatility of the Polish złoty. So this will be the major factor influencing our results in this other segment in third and the fourth quarter. We are ready with our platforms to take more of this business in second part of this year.
Okay, thank you.
If there are any further telephone questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time.
If there are no following questions, then thank you very much for attending the management presentation and management conference call, and hopefully we are seeing at the next quarter results in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.